You're listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network, now the largest new media platform on the web, and your number one source for after-show entertainment.
Very good, Keenan
Johnson.
From the AfterBuzz Studios in Los Angeles, California, presented by Maria Menounos and Bing.com, and streaming live thanks to Akamai Technologies, this is AfterBuzz TV's Downton Abbey After Show. We'll break down tonight's episode and get you all the latest news and gossip. And now, another post-game wrap-up show for your favorite TV show. It's AfterBuzz TV's Downton Abbey After Show.
And welcome, everybody. Bing is for doing, and we are here doing another AfterBuzz TV After Show for Downton Abbey Series 4, Episode 2. I'm John Comerford, and I'm joined in the studio by Courtney Stewart.
Hello, everybody.
And Tamara Berg.
Hi, everybody.
And in the booth is Stephen Lemieux. Stephen, say hi to everybody.
Hi, everybody.
Thank you very much. Okay, we see that, can we say that Edna has stepped into some very ugly shoes? And Mosley gets some money, and we'll start off with Mary getting a letter from beyond the grave, shall we say.
Yes.
We saw the big package being delivered, and very, very enigmatically, and say, oh my God, what's that? What's in the box? Of course, Carson said, well, maybe we should have Mary figure that out.
Because it's addressed to her.
Yeah, exactly. But Mrs. Hughes has better ideas because Mary's not feeling so good about the whole thing. So it's up to them to give it to Lord Grantham. And then we find that there's a letter.
Mrs. Hughes, always intercepting people's mail.
I know, exactly. Right? Last week, she's taking it from the trash.
Taking it out of the trash.
And here she's taking it away from Mary, so to speak. So we find the letter. Or I should say Lord Grantham finds the letter in the book. Well, I didn't see what book it was, by the way. Was it? Did it matter?
Random book.
No. I wasn't sure if there was some sort of metaphorical reference to it, but I didn't see the book.
No.
And it's just what we were all wondering about from last week's episode. How would this go on? He's a lawyer, an attorney. How could he not have a will? Mm-hmm. And, of course, all are answered. But I thought it was interesting that Lord Grantham's not so happy about this.
You thought that was interesting?
I thought it was interesting because I go, really? He's still going to play this?
Yes, of course he is. Downton is his stuff.
But after getting
crushed so hard, you know, with the loss of the fortune, you would think he might be a little bit gun-shy.
My point is, you're not so good to have everything in your hands.
Ego right. It's an ugly thing.
Perhaps.
Wise words, Courtney. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
Okay. You know, I just want to real quickly remind our listeners that we're doing the UK version of Downton Abbey.
In
concert with the UK airing of the episode. So there may be a little differences when this comes into the US.
And just since we just mentioned that, can we talk to everybody whining about in the air? What was it they were saying?
Oh my gosh, yes. I was reading the Facebook page today for Downton Abbey Series 4. And, you know, Americans, we love our Downton Abbey. And, you know, sometimes, actually, this is what was written on one of the Facebook entries, was someone said, I can't believe you Brits get to see Downton Abbey so soon, you know, wah, wah. And then all the Brits come in and go, oh, you damn Americans,
you
stop
whiny
complaining.
Whiny.
They're so whiny. And then a couple of the Americans go, well, we're Americans. We're entitled to whine. So anyway, you know, I think it just has everything to do with we love Downton Abbey.
Of course.
And some people are not, you know, don't have the kind of access that we are lucky to have here at AfterBuzz. In America to be able to find it. So knowing that there are things going on in the UK that Americans can't get to, it just kills them sometimes. And, you know, we three do our best not to brag to all of our friends and family that we're getting to watch it early. But I got to tell you, my sisters want to kill me when they know that I've seen it early.
They really do. It's really not pretty.
They just don't want to talk to me because they don't want to know anything about it.
Oh, right. They don't want to know anything about it.
Yeah, so then
don't spoil it.
Okay, fine. That's what AfterBuzz is for.
All right. So they don't want anything, but let's get back to it.
Yeah.
So when we have Grantham meeting with the Dowager.
I go, Violet, always a good one.
Is he, I mean, will he ever say anything to his mother? Will they ever talk back to her in any way? Because let's face it, she just slapped that boy.
Every single time. Yeah. And, you know, my favorite quote of the episode came right in this one was, when you talk like that, I'm tempted to call for Nanny, send you to supper with, I mean, send to bed. Bed without supper.
Yeah.
That was great.
And he just rolls his
eyes. Yeah, you kind of expect him to be like, shucks, mother.
Shucks. She's the best Spitfire. Love it.
I'm going, when is he gonna, when is Julian going to give him something to say back to her?
Not. That's his mom.
I know, yeah. But come on.
No,
at some point, no.
They are proper in every possible way.
No.
You respect your mother.
No.
I will say, I think, you know, Lord Grantham is going to redeem himself a little bit this series. I hope so, because, you know, him being the bumbling fool is a little demeaning to him, let's just say.
Yeah. Is it at all getting tiresome, that particular character?
Mm. Maybe
fault,
a
not fault, but the because they did that
the
a lot.
The storyline,
yeah, exactly.
You mean,
and
yeah.
I'm going, he's not that much of a bumbling idiot, is he? Really?
No,
he's not that much. He's in his own space and who he is, and he's not really up for change, as we can see.
Yeah, yeah. Clearly. Yeah, I know, and he's doing his best to protect Mary, but really, I mean, it's, you know,
he has good intention.
He's protecting his own self-interest as well. Yeah, and so. You know, here's the thing: these privileged people who don't have a set purpose the way the working class do in that time, it's, you know, it's a little bit more difficult for them to find their way. And when he in his position has sort of been, you know,
well,
his
he had
job
his way,
essentially
and that got
has
taken
been,
away.
Exactly.
Is
he's been taken away.
Yeah.
Then what do you do?
Because he certainly had his set position being the Lord. But as that got usurped.
What do you do?
Exactly,
go,
right.
You know, hang out with the dogs and shoot pheasant all day long? That's a little boring.
That doesn't sound so bad.
Well, you know. I'm with you.
Yeah,
not such a bad life. You're right.
Let's face it. I mean, when he was in Scotland, you remember how much he loved it?
He had a
yes,
great time.
He did.
That's
so,
of course,
true.
He did want to get back after all the bagpipes, so we can't really.
The bagpipes?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I was kind of surprised just at Mary's. I mean, the reaction was so interesting when it was finally read out to everybody, and Mary's reaction, which is why she cried and she wouldn't. I was, whoa, the Ice Queen.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we finally get to see. I mean, we saw a little bit of it last week when she was with Carson, but that was surprising for her to have that display of emotion in front of the whole family. No. To you?
Yes, definitely. It was incredibly touching to me what he was saying because, you know, we got to remember what we love about Matthew. We haven't seen him in a few months, you know, because of his death. And so, you know, so the note that he wrote at the end, well, now I shall sign this and get off for dinner with you. What a lovely thought.
Mm-hmm.
Just, it was a little heartbreaking.
It was so heartbreaking.
It was.
Oh, really?
No, it was so, I wasn't, it was just a very, it was a great moving moment to hear. And everybody talked about how that letter was like, it was good to hear his final sort of words. So
yes.
To speak. And it was.
Have
it,
a little bit of resolution.
I felt that as a fan, like, oh
absolutely,
my God,
we
I
wanted
his energy.
We wanted the character to have a final thought, too.
Yeah,
so
I didn't like that the final thought was him on the side of the road or the tent's widow. Like, that was awful.
Yeah.
So
I needed
final
it.
Thoughts. So it was. Well, that's great. It worked for you then.
Yeah, it was. It was beautiful. It's so interesting. One of the things that Lord Grantham is concerned about is double paying of the death duty.
Yeah.
Meaning that if the money had gone straight to baby George, then he would have the death duty had been paid once. But since it has to go through Mary, and then when
then
Mary dies,
George.
Goes on to George, it's going to have to be paid twice. So I don't know what kind of money that means. But but one of the things that I was reading was. Someone, again, you know, the Brits can be relatively snarky in their comments sometimes.
Are they?
One of the ones I saw was, oh, so they're going to have to sell a few diamond brooches in order to cover the death duties. Poor, sad Lord Grantham.
Oh.
Well, but I don't know what that means, you know.
Yeah, well, he talked about selling land.
Yeah.
So if they have to sell land. Yeah.
Yeah.
It must be a large percentage.
Yeah, it's got to be. My God, what kind
you
of
gotta sell
death duties?
Land? That's awful.
Yeah.
But it's kind
death
of
taxes here.
It was kind of awful, too. Though, that's sort of the first thing out of his mouth, essentially, when she's like, I got this letter, things. Okay, well, now you got to pay two death duties. That's not great for your son. Like, why would that be your first thought? That's why I don't
He's
like
He's not
him.
The warmest, most sentimental guy.
No.
Let's just, you know, face the fact on that one.
No.
So you didn't like the way he kind of
like
went at her at dinner time?
When
he
just kind of came out. Like, give her a minute, like, pat her on the back, say, see, he thought of you, honey, because she was still having that moment.
Yeah.
Like,
mm-hmm.
he thought of you, and he didn't leave you without this thought.
Yeah, so this, all this protecting her from all
you weren't protecting her. That made it that much more selfish.
Well, and her saying, you know, I'd like to offer my opinion. I'd like to be given the opportunity to express my opinion. And he says, well, I think you should have your opinion, but you're coming from a place of no knowledge at all. You know, you poor sad thing.
Yeah, and rightfully so.
Well,
we see what all the knowledge he had got him.
Well, one of my drama queen, one of my Twitter friends, was talking about how she really hates how he's always talking down to her, how he's speaking down to her. Mm-hmm. And that, but again, that's the generation from whence he came.
And he's also a father, so in some respects,
that's his job to speak down to her.
I'm not saying I agree with it, but you know, parents often do that because they still see you as the child, regardless of how old you are.
But not Cora. She was rather happy because she comes, you know, she comes from the American point of view. As much as she loves and has lived in England, she understands this whole thing about the inheritance being a little more equal in that sense.
And apparently, so does Grandma.
Yeah, well, everybody's against Lord Grantham.
Yeah.
He's out on his own. He's way out there on the limb. Nobody's with him.
Yeah.
Yeah. and she starts scheming, Dowager, of course.
Oh,
I thought it was hysterical. She had meetings. She had meetings with Bates today, and she had meetings with
Mosley's dad last week.
And now she's having meetings with Tom.
Yeah. Right?
And I say Tom because it's hard for her to even say his name.
That was a great moment.
I thought I could call him Benson.
Now that it's Tom, Grandma.
Okay. All right. And again, the scheming. Oh, yeah, it's wonderful. But, you know, her scheming, when I say scheming, I like that there's her scheming. And then, of course, on the other side, we have Edna and Thomas, which we'll get to, and they're scheming.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But the way it's done is just totally different.
Right? Yes.
And I think I find it funny that upstairs and downstairs, everybody's scheming. They just do it differently.
And I like that she's the one that sort of, even though she sort of makes note often of how things are changing and how it was kind of okay the way that it was, she still is also the energy of pulling it forward with Mary and everything and standing up to her son.
Well, it is interesting because she's so conflicted about some of it. Some of it, she's just so forward thinking. Another, she can't even call the man Tom.
Right,
call him Branson.
Right,
and you know, she finds she would find the electric mixer of last week atrocious.
Right,
exactly.
Or when Edith comes back from town, from London, doesn't change her clothes.
Oh,
no, you don't
need
to. You don't need to stand on formality with us. Yeah. No, why should we benefit from some courtesy?
And she says that. But then in the next breath, she's telling Mary to sneak around, and Mary's like, sneak around behind Dad's back. Isn't that bad? And she's like, there can be too much truth in any relationship.
That was my line. I love that. There's too much truth in every relationship. And what ain't that the truth? Yeah, she was fabulous. So what do we think about Tom? Now, Tom, of course, really wants Mary involved. And I'm curious, do you think Tom wants Mary involved for two things? It seems like he wants her involved because it would help her through her grief because he's aware of what that's like.
Yes.
He's been through that before.
Absolutely.
And he knows what getting by. And he was talking about it last week. So that also seems an extension of last week that he wants to include her. But I really think he thinks that she's got great ideas, and not only would they be great ideas, but they would be more in keeping with his thinking. Mm-hmm. So he has another partner to go up against the Lord.
And he's an ally.
Yeah. So would you guys agree with that?
I definitely think those are the reasons. And, you know, I think he does feel some familial obligation as well.
Yeah.
You know, there's also his point of view coming from what's going to be best for this family.
Yeah.
You know, so I think that's sort of the third element for me is, you know, yes, they're my ideas, and my ideas were in alignment with Matthew's, and I want to help Mary, but really I think this is the right thing to do.
And for the Abbey and the whole thing.
Yeah.
And I also think he has a soft spot for Mary, because, you know, it took a while for Mary to really come around to him, but at some point, remember, it clicked with Sybil and everything, and then she really was fighting for him and an advocate for him. And I think because of that, he really is trying to help her.
Well, and also remember the sweetness that was between Matthew and Tom before Matthew and Mary got married. And, and
if we're going to marry into this family, you better stick together.
Exactly.
Boy, do I know that. So
Anyway. So I thought that was, you know, that was just another way to sort of show him being part of the family.
Yeah. And I'm sure he knows and recognizes that Mary has something to bring to the table, and that's to the same way that he saw his wife, who passed, as someone who had more to offer than just what they are being told they have to offer. Mm-hmm. And I think he wants to bring that out because he has a daughter.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And that's going to be her legacy too.
Yeah, exactly.
Another thing that I was reading on Facebook today was a couple of people were saying, oh, is there something between Mary and Tom? And I was like,
Courtney, what are you thinking?
I do see how that could totally go there.
Do you?
I do. And I don't know if I'm like, Downton wouldn't do that.
No.
But then again, maybe they would. I'm not sure. I think that people find solace and comfort in each other's similar situations,
yeah.
and then they're going to be working together and sneaking around so daddy doesn't know what's going on and getting closer. And
that
I
would
could
make
see
for interesting TV.
I'm going to say never going to happen.
I'm going to say never going to happen.
I'm saying it's possible.
Yeah, I give like a lot of people would think that. I absolutely
right.
understand that.
Well, because there were some sort of yeah. you know kind looks between them, which could mm-hmm. be interpreted
yeah.
that way.
Yeah.
But the two things that I would say is Mary's a snob, and I
yeah.
think as much as she appreciates him for who he is, she does remember him as a chauffeur.
Right.
And secondarily, from the outside world, we know they're bringing love interests in for Mary.
Yeah, exactly.
So,
right.
you know, that just kind of spoils
but.
It right there.
Yeah, and also, though, I think it would be, I think it's great that she has a relationship that isn't about a suitor or anything like that and has an advocate like that, because she doesn't
yes.
have that anywhere there.
That's true. Yes.
And I think it's good for Tom as well. Because, I don't know, I just think it shows that equality, because they came from such disparate worlds, and if it would be great if they were friends, and it had nothing
That's
to do
out.
With any kind of suitorness, suitoring
mm-hmm.
or wooing or anything like that.
I agree.
So, anyway. So, let's talk about testamentary intention.
Oh, my God.
Yes, barrister.
Okay.
Yeah, exactly. I just thought, I was like, what the hell? I'm writing that down.
Is go, extra.
Oh, exactly. Murray came through for Lord Grantham,
Get
so
it,
that
Murray.
Will, or I should say the letter, had enough testamentary intention so that it is, for all intents and purposes, a will.
A will.
A will.
So Mary does get to inherit half the estate. Now, for some reason, I wasn't paying attention, and I went, oh, that's right, half the
half
estate.
And here's Lord Grantham at that moment.
Curse.
And right away. They go, okay, because I have ideas, and, well, I don't agree. And there we go. Okay, there we go.
Oh, here
Playing
it
Playing out just like Lord Grantham didn't want it to play out.
Mm-hmm.
But, of course, now we're setting up this season because they're going to be butting heads like crazy.
Which is interesting to me with the testamentary intention or whatever it is, that Matthew had the forethought to actually have the thing witnessed
yeah.
was very interesting to
yeah.
me because
yeah.
it was written as a letter,
yeah.
but ever being the attorney
yeah. –
did have it witnessed, and boy, that was a smart move because that was the thing for me that made it, you know,
mm-hmm.
very cut and dried.
Yeah,
so, which is why I didn't understand why there was any
about yeah.
it.
Well, yeah, but
because he wanted there to be an argument.
But no, but those the laws of the time. I mean, let's face it.
That's
when we
true.
Think about the laws of the that era, I get baffled. Going
yeah.
really, it goes on, and they the women have no say,
yeah.
nothing, and I'm going, wow, that is kind
My
of
Lady
a shocking.
Is broke.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But, you know, it's not too far from our own as well. But and the other part about it, I liked the way that Grantham and Tom had their little tete-a-tete after she said all that. Because
mm-hmm.
you're not going to quiet her.
Oh, right.
Which is exactly what he wants, to just keep her safe and quiet and out of the way.
Like, go play with your baby.
And then he used the livestock reference. And then she has a bit in her mouth.
And you're not gonna rein her in.
I know, but I thought that was great, you know, because, you know, that's, you know, kind of where he comes from. But I also thought it echoed what the Dowager was saying. Was when she had that meeting with Tom, she said, show her the farms and the livestock, you know.
That was
like, I don't really know what.
Exactly.
Whatever you do.
Exactly. And I thought that for me, that was just a nice little callback to that moment. I mean, I don't know how, you know, it was supposed to be one, but that's just how I took it. I liked it because the Dowager talking about life, like it just had such a, and really, a literally, a sour taste in your mouth.
The
livestock.
Those things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, those wretched, awful things. So I think this is going to set up the whole season. I assume this is
yep.
going to be the butting heads. And
no.
then, because the two of them used to be, meaning Lord Grantham and Mary, used to be in concert all the time.
Mm-hmm.
So this will be interesting to see how they play. And I feel bad for Lord Grantham because he's going to lose.
Yeah, and he's getting it from a whole bunch of directions.
Nobody's on his side. Nobody coming to his defense.
Now, but what do you think about this, that, you know, the fact that he's kind of being opposed at all times
mm-hmm.
these days. I mean, it's a little bit of a repeat.
It is.
In character. What do you think about that?
Well, I'd like to see they take him somewhere else because
yeah.
it is a repeat and it's the kind of, you know, it makes for great conflict, but at some point you gotta give us some other storyline.
Right.
because I would like to see this guy start to, because it was interesting, you take this Lord and then you decimate him.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And I thought that was cool. And then you bring somebody else in to take his place, which was great too. But now you're doing the same thing. It just happens to be with your daughter. So I don't know. We'll see. It may be different because it's a female. It's going to feel different because it's
his daughter.
Yeah. So all that kind of stuff. So you get those interplay going.
Do you think there's a possibility that he will turn around and it will be, great teaming of minds between father and daughter?
Well, I mean, it will be on some things, but I don't know how good TV
right,
that
how
is because everything's all hunky dory. But it seems like an obvious choice to have this happen, and I'm hoping that they'll do more with it because it is obvious,
right?
Because it would be more interesting to do it a different route,
right? Yeah.
So Courtney's dubious.
No, I'm just thinking because I just see him sort of, because everyone around him mm-hmm. is sort of going with the flow of things and how things are changing or finding their way in that change.
Yes.
Whether it's,
mm-hmm.
Grandma's deciding what she's okay with and what she's not okay with, and his wife, mm-hmm. she sort of floats along to me with almost everything. Mm-hmm. So, and obviously he's got his two daughters left. Mary's sort of been the one who did what she wanted, kind of, but mm-hmm. not really, because it still stayed in concert with what he felt were the core values or what have you. And obviously Edith is coming along doing her own thing, which is only going to go God knows where at this point.
Well, yeah, but
going to Germany, what have you. So Dad seems like he has to be the solid.
Well, that's the way it is. He's always been the traditionalist in the sense that he's always kept that role. And Mary has usually been in concert. Now, she won't be mm-hmm. because she's got newer ideas, so to speak. And then Edith is going to be off doing this artsy, literati kind of flapper. I don't know what she's going, but she's not going to be doing the traditional route.
No.
So all that tradition is being taken away from him. And he doesn't have anybody, even his mother, who is ultra traditionalist on many levels, is not going to be in his corner. So, I mean, I'm just going, okay, but we've seen him there before. You got to give him something else to play.
I really hope that they do. I hope it's not, that we're seeing the same story again.
Yeah.
And maybe it's going to be, him less as a patriarch and more of a father.
Yeah. Well, I'd like him because, he's just getting chopped up at the knees by everybody. It would be nice if he was able to stand up to something.
Right?
Because, he's got no one.
Can we talk about Edith a little bit?
Let's go, yes.
We are
Jump
there.
In.
So Edith, in her little love den with Gregson, it looks
mm-hmm.
like.
Nice.
That train was really late.
Uh-huh. We had to sit there on the tracks forever.
I think that's where you were.
Right, so that conversation where he's saying, I'm going to go be a German, and she says, do you realize what scorn you're bringing upon yourself?
And
excuse me.
Them by proxy.
Right.
By association, not by proxy. Yeah.
And he says, as long as you love me, I'll do anything.
Mm-hmm.
And boy, clearly they're setting that up to be an amazing challenge. For the two of them.
Dad hasn't enough to deal with. He doesn't even like
him
exactly.
From all directions.
Like, are you kidding me?
You're a German though?
Yeah, exactly.
Right?
And of course, you invited him to it wasn't a house party. It was a family party.
Party.
I just call it a house party. It's a house party.
She did call it a house party.
Did she really?
Yeah, I think she did. I think she did.
House party. Woohoo! Raise the atrium. So. Yeah, so that's gonna. That's next week. I believe it's next week, and that's where we'll get to meet Mary's new interest as well. Go ahead.
Yeah, I just wonder if we're going to again be talking about poor Edith.
Yeah,
once again.
Of course. But this time it'll be a different kind of. I mean, they'll make her poor Edith is even worse.
Or maybe it's just because it's on her own terms this time a little bit more. Like, I feel like she stood up to her family like, I want to write. I'm going to go do this. I go to London. Like, and so, maybe I don't see how this can go well. But I at least
You know silver lining on this one?
I don't see how it can go well. Like, even if he goes, it doesn't sound like a good plan.
No.
But in this case, at least I feel like she's sort of asserted herself and is coming into herself, so she feels like a more whole person than she was the last time it went away.
I love it now because, again, this is why I like the way they've written her, because before it was always poor Edith, and it was always living in Mary's shadow, and they've given her someplace to go. She is standing on her own. She's even with their costuming and the clothing.
Right.
Everything is. I think that's great. You can see a lot of growth in that. And I would love that to be happening with mm-hmm. Lord Grantham and a couple others. Let's move them along.
And you can absolutely see her asserting herself.
Yeah.
Because she's pushed it a little bit from time to time and then, you know, kissing Gregson in public. But then, you know, when I can see some great monologues coming up for her. Really. I mean, you know, because she's.
Oh, can you? Rather.
She's really setting up, you know, her own opinions and having her own voice.
Especially,
and that's going
to
be exciting.
Have to as a writer
see.
As well. So she's going to have to probably defend the things that she writes.
Yeah.
So I'm sure they're not going to always ring well.
Right.
Home.
And it'll be heartbreak as in heartbreak as you still have a life and you still can do things and still have something to do with yourself. Not the last time, which was like life break.
Can you imagine how she's, if he ends up becoming a German citizen, everybody finds out, now how is she going to defend him?
Right.
It would be interesting to see how that character.
He was married,
and that, exactly.
We needed a divorce.
And the voice and, you know, how she finds that voice and defends him. It'll be interesting. Because we've seen Mary go toe-to-toe with Dad.
Mm-hmm. Maybe it's all going to be fine.
Exactly.
Not wearing that sassy dress she wore to dinner, coming home late on a train.
Well, we would love to hear what everybody else out there has to think about Edith and her trials and tribulations. And as well as anything else on Downton Abbey, please write and comment. Go to iTunes. Let us know what your theories are. Let us know what you think should happen or what you'd like to see happen. We'd love to hear all those things. In fact, Tamara, do you have any?
I do. I have one YouTube follower who said, what I like most about this episode was all the historical tidbits. This is about last week.
Yeah.
She says, for example, Lady Grantham is struggling to find a lady's maid because in the 20s there were more job opportunities and fewer people were going into service.
Yeah,
because
they had other things.
Because less people were choosing that life.
Yeah, people,
and then she also says, Edith hints about going to Germany. You know where that's going to go.
Thank you very much. Who was that, by the way?
Oh, that was... Soren Crane.
Thank you, Soren. All right.
Yes.
So, absolutely. Please go to iTunes, rate and comment. Go to YouTube. You can do that. Go to AfterBuzz TV. Anywhere. Just let us know what
you can find us.
Absolutely. Go find
us. You can also send us tweets, too.
Yes,
we love getting
for sure.
Now, I want to move on to Carson and that storyline because we saw it last week. Obviously, Mrs. Hughes had seen the crinkled up note and decided to stick her nose in. This week we continue that storyline. We find out a little bit more. I thought the most interesting thing about the storyline for me was the cheerful Charlies.
The cheerful Charlies.
I went, what the? I honestly didn't know his first name was Charles. I never cared and never wanted to know because it was always Carson, but his name is Charlie. He calls
Carson.
At the end, he called him Charlie. So he was one of the cheerful Charlies. I thought that was two things. One, I didn't know his name was Charlie. I didn't think he could ever be cheerful.
Right. So, exactly. That is not a word I would use to describe
ever,
Carson.
Ever.
Except for the time that he found out that Mrs. Hughes was not going to die.
But that wasn't even cheerful. That was relief.
Well, that's true.
But remember, he was whistling and singing
and stuff.
So that was it was gleeful. I said, but anyway, mm-hmm. The point is, I want to see that guy. Where is that guy? I was hoping to see more.
I know Grig's gone now, and I thought we were going to get to see a great tap number. That was my hope.
Yes.
Well, they might as he walked off at the end on the train.
He's got
his lady now.
Yeah, I was hoping for something.
They found
on there,
their moment.
But so the conflict between them was. Because of a dame.
A dame.
Dame.
And what do I always say? Dames is trouble.
Right. So Alice Neal was the girl between them.
Mm-hmm.
Grig took her away.
Well, not really.
She didn't really pursue her.
She left.
Well, that was his story.
Yeah, that's true. Okay. We don't know.
I
believed him.
I believed him, too.
Yeah, I don't think it was... why Alice chose
No, it wasn't
him.
That I didn't believe him. It's just that his story was different than perhaps what the reality was.
Okay,
that's what I mean by that.
And it was certainly different from what cheerful Charlie Carson believed.
Mm-hmm.
So he had a whole different thinking on that. But, you know, again, I thought it was hysterical. Mrs. Hughes not only, you know, did the whole finding a note and setting this whole thing in motion, but when it came down to it, she just stepped right into Carson's space and basically told him, Yeah, it's an open wound. Go fix it.
Exactly.
And the way they shot it was kind of fun. It's like, okay, she's going to step right up into him,
get
in his grill.
Right, literally that. Closing the space between them, and
you know, you don't often see that there.
No, they're so proper.
Yeah, and I thought, whoa, that
and
was
nobody
a big
steps
moment.
To Carson.
No,
like that.
No, except Mrs. Hughes. She's the only one who can get away with it.
Because
that special relationship.
Mm-hmm. I mean, even Isabel. When she came to visit Carson and say, hey, listen, I came here to see you, and does that whole thing. And he gets so up and, you know, gets the scruff on his neck goes up. and shuts her down.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going, wait a minute, Isabel, last week the nanny shut you down from seeing the kids, and now the butler is telling you, hey, this is my concern, and what are you doing? And she, yeah, oh, okay.
She said,
right.
Okay.
Well, she, you know, I guess he was right. I mean, it isn't any of her business. But I said, Isabel, I don't like people shutting Isabel down.
Not that easily.
No.
She had a little more fire than that.
She's, you know, she's still coming back, remember.
That's true.
She's still a little
true,
wounded.
True. Yeah,
I think that. You know, baby steps.
All right. I wanted her to step into him, too. I just did.
You know what I was really grateful to see was that the doctor's back.
Uh-huh.
Oh,
remember,
yeah.
We had that little, you know, touch of a romance between them,
which
was so sad. So sad.
Yeah.
But, you know, maybe there's a little hope for that.
No.
Well, that's what I was thinking when I saw him there.
Yeah, that's
maybe now that she's going through this grief, mm-hmm. some of her pretense is gone,
uh-huh.
and maybe because she just didn't really even see it that he was.
Well, she really shut him down.
She did
see it, and
you know,
she just
it might
closed
be,
the door on that.
It
wow.
might be now, no, that. Now, though,
she may be
that,
more open to it.
Exactly. That. Thank you.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
That realization that she feels like when she was talking about, I you no longer have a child. You're not a mother anymore.
Right.
Yeah,
like yeah.
she feels like she
has nothing.
Who am I?
Yeah.
Right.
But that,
yeah.
And that may open that up to. Well, I'll tell you who I am. I am somebody who is open to this relationship.
Yeah.
And maybe that would be great.
I would love that. That would make
like
me
that.
Happy.
They were
yeah.
kind of fun together. I thought they were a good.
She needs
pairing.
It. She can't just. I mean, she's investing. Obviously, she helped.
Mm-hmm.
Helps everybody
mm-hmm.
when she can.
Right.
So. She deserves a lot of
And obviously,
for herself.
They worked great.
They have so much in common.
Today.
And they work together.
They help Greg a
they
lot.
They
help
Greg
so.
Get along and
they
get a job. They got him on a train.
There you go.
They gave him a whole new life.
That's it.
She deserves a whole new life.
That's a power couple in the Abbey right there.
Yes.
Come on. That'd be nice.
I'm all for it.
So, okay, there you go, Tamara.
I'm all for it.
All right,
I'll
agree with you on that.
Doctor's back.
So did you guys, by the way, did you guys like the playbills? Did you really, I mean, I really hoping somewhere, please, to have him sing something. Do a song
yes.
and dance or something.
Maybe it's coming.
Well, you know.
Even if it's a private moment, he thinks
yeah.
he's alone and somebody, only Mrs. Hughes catches
he's gonna
him.
He's going to sing for Mrs. Hughes.
Oh, wow.
Do
you think
come.
That's what they were trying to suggest with them walking away together?
I think that he finally.
That there's a romance between them,
yeah.
Budding?
I think that this closing that chapter
yeah.
is what makes him now available
that's what I was
to
thinking.
Be open to it.
Right, because he may have been carrying a torch for Alice
yes,
all this time.
That's what I think.
And when you have that kind of
wow.
heartbreak in your heart and you never let it go, you're not open to somebody
yeah, and,
else.
And he also now knows that she's passed away.
Died.
Yeah.
So, but there's just the way they shot that and everything and the way that, you know, he walked right by Mrs. Hughes and I went, wait, what, you're
going
to walk right by her?
But she got him.
Yeah, and then they walked together. I'm going, I think
so. Would you like to walk home together?
Yeah. I think that was the beginning of them starting a long term. It's going to take forever
Ever.
For them to fulfill. You know what I mean? Yeah, it's like the remains of the day. It'll take forever for that to happen. Right?
Yes.
Yeah, and finally.
Right, because we're here matchmaking everybody. It
yeah.
can't be what the future of Downton Abbey is
no.
going to be. Everybody being happy and, you know,
not
butterflies
happy.
And unicorns. It just
no.
can't happen.
But
yeah.
when they're loving, that gives more problems. So when they're mm-hmm. downstairs all working and having to work together and that's more attention.
Close quarters.
Right. Since we talked about that, then let's talk about Anna and Bates. And since they are 11, and
can they get a break?
What's that?
Can they get a
no.
break?
No,
no, man.
Why is everybody gonna? They tortured him so long.
Yeah, I know. But here's the thing. I was just going, oh, Thomas, you have no clue. Okay, first of all, let's talk about let's go to the Edna and Anna thing.
Okay.
Edna and Anna?
Yes.
Because I thought. We were talking about Bates, but the thing that kills me is that so Edna does something to the garment of Cora's. I don't know what garment
whatever
it was,
she
whatever she ruined it or something like that. And of course, Thomas comes up with the scheming plan. Is like, let's blame it on somebody else. I'm going, Thomas. I mean, it's great stuff because the two of them, Edna just steps right into Mrs. Mm-hmm.
O'Brien's
shoes,
right?
Yeah, which is great. It's going to be fun fodder for us.
Yes.
But I'm thinking, Thomas, you don't be that. You just poked the sleeping bear. Because are you really going to go up against Bates?
Bates?
Here's the thing. You didn't even go up against Bates. You went after his wife.
You? Oh, yeah.
Are you crazy?
Not, right.
Are you crazy? First of all, they saved your ass, and you know it.
Yes.
And that's how you're going to do
it?
Okay.
Them.
Exactly. So, and I'm going, I know he's got flaws like crazy, but are you that much of an idiot? Because
yes.
you can't go up to that man's wife. That man's been to prison. I mean, that guy is going to.
He
well,
doesn't like happy people, and
he
they're
doesn't.
Happy together.
Yeah, I know, but
he's miserable.
Well, what is his motivation? I mean, is it just that he can't stand that they're happy together.
I think that's part of it. I also think it's he doesn't have a cohort.
He doesn't
anymore,
have his ally.
And he really likes that.
Yes.
And here's not only can I have a cohort, but I can. She's my protege.
She can do.
I can be the mentor.
Exactly.
Because I can bring her along. Where O'Brien was kind of his, not his puppet master, but she led a lot of that.
Yes, she did.
So now he's the guy. Oh, no, here, let me show you. Mm-hmm. Let me help you and stuff. So now he's the big man there.
His little false sense of power.
Exactly.
Ugh.
And what else has he got? And look, let's face it, last week he was so good about the Nanny West thing.
Yes.
Yes.
And I'm sure that felt pretty good to him to be in the Cora's good graces. I'm sorry, Lady Grantham's
Lady
good graces. So, which is, I'm sure, why he was able to make that jump. And yeah, she'll believe me because mm-hmm. I did such a good job here. But I just think he's crazy for going after Bates.
He's a great villain, though. Mm-hmm. And I think this is going to be, you know, I mean, he was definitely the guy you love to hate in mm-hmm. so much of it. When he, you know, got wounded in the war, the way he did that was just so conniving. And, you know, he is the guy you love to hate. He's mm-hmm. great looking.
I know. Now they got him in the he looks
he's
better
all,
in the
all pressed and fantastic.
And he's even got a better air about him.
Yes.
And then air turns into an arrogance very quickly.
Mm-hmm.
that part's fabulous. But I just think he's crazy. But I think it's going to be great because I love it when Bates and Thomas are at each other.
Yeah,
I
think that's
do. But Anna's so nice and means well for everyone.
Oh, I
and
know,
it's so awful. Like,
because, yeah.
She hasn't done anything to anybody. She's, like, only helpful and only trying to make things okay for
and
everybody.
She sees Mosley. Somebody was talking about Mosley because this is what leads into the rest of the story with Anna and the Mosley thing is that she sees him paving the road and doing the very lowly manual labor job, which he's not at all happy that he's completely embarrassed that he sees.
He's humiliated by that job, for sure.
She doesn't care, of course. And all she wants to do is help the guy.
Yeah. Right.
And somebody was writing how they just couldn't stand Mosley because who cares about him? And I'm going, what the hell?
Oh, my gosh. This article that I read was so snarky. It started off by saying, you know, Series 4 is a bore.
Yeah.
And I can't remember where I read
just
it, but probably if you Google that phrase, you can find it. But, boy, did they just trash it. First of all, 2 episodes in.
Yeah, so I don't know. How
give it a chance.
Yeah.
You've got to lay a little bit of groundwork. You know, a lot of
literally.
The reasons
to set everything up.
Thank you.
Yeah.
A lot of the reasons why, you know, shows have trouble in their sophomore year, as they call it, is because, you know, everything's new. The first season, second season, you know, you know all the new things and you're trying to lay the groundwork for the rest of the season. And, you know, it's not quite as exciting because you're paving the path.
Yeah, and now we're in series four, so we're even further down the road. Again, can't get away from the metaphor.
Sorry.
I just love, you know, I don't know how or why, but she, the actress and the character just seems so genuine that I buy it.
Yes.
I mean, I don't care how melodramatic or sentimental it is.
Right.
It works for me, and I just kind of go, I just want to help her.
And I don't want to see her harmed, like, on purpose.
Exactly. That's, it's just like, no, and I think that's why Julian was going, yeah, this is going to be good because everybody loves
her.
Yeah. I'm going to do, loves I'm going to go
and
after
her. Loves her and Mrs. Hughes.
And I'm going to go after her for no reason.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so the audience is going crazy now.
I'm
angry. So this scene between Lord Grantham and Bates, where he was saying, you know, you might need to rein your wife in a little bit, essentially, right?
Yes, harsh.
And it was. And I go, and this is another thing that drives me crazy about the show, in a good way and a bad way, but drives me because, like, really, you don't know by now, no. Grantham?
Right.
That
there's that there machinations
are like
going
crazy.
On. Right, exactly.
You don't bother to find out first. No, you just lay into somebody.
No. Like, do you really not know the soap opera that's going on downstairs?
No. Yeah.
Haven't we seen this before?
And the other thing
multiple
is...
multiple times.
Right?
Excuse me. You know Anna. You know Bates. You haven't given him the benefit of the doubt by now?
Right. And he really knows Bates.
And that's my point. It's like, are you kidding me? So,
and poor Anna's just like, what do you mean?
Yeah, what are you talking about?
I just told her how to do this.
Yeah.
I don't know anything.
Yeah. so this this is going to make for good stuff, though. Fireworks? I come to fisticuffs, maybe?
Mm.
No, between, you know, Bates and Thomas, that's what I'm thinking.
No, Bates did say, and again, this got criticized, Bates said, you know, I did learn a thing or two in prison and was sort of, you know, smirking with it, and maybe the delivery was a little cheeky, but he did learn things in prison.
True.
Yes, he did. He learned how to get 30 pounds out of Dowager.
Right? Well, I don't know if that was in prison, but...
Well, he learned how to forge a note.
Yes.
He forged Mosley's name. I thought that was a clever little thing.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I mean, look on Mosley's face when he realized, what? And he was so, you know, I don't know what you're doing, but, you know, I just thought it was great because what's he going to do?
He
it happened so fast and so, you know. And I didn't get it for a second what he was going to try to do until I saw the forgery. I went, oh, that makes sense. But I had no idea how Bates was going to spin this.
Right.
He did a good job.
It was.
But clever and allowed Mosley to save face.
In front of everybody, too.
In front of everybody. So. And he did it for his wife.
Yeah.
Yes. Which means he will do lots of things for his wife.
That's right. So, good point,
if he's
miss.
Wrong to forge.
What else is he willing to do? Because she stuck by him through all that mess.
Yeah, he owes her a lot.
They are messing with the wrong
That's lady. What I'm saying, man. You should not mess with that.
Yeah.
You just stepped into a whole hell of a lot of trouble, and you have no idea. All right, let's see. What else we got to get to before we get out of here? Rose. Rose.
Oh, silly Rose.
Oh, Rose.
Oh, you silly, silly girl.
Okay.
But she just wants to have a good time.
Girls just want to have fun.
She just want to have fun.
That's it.
That's all.
But, you know, she just, and I go, can't she just ever just say, hey, I want to go here? Does she always have to do it?
There needs to be a big drama,
drama behind it. Yeah, you know, couldn't you just, you know, she always has to do everything on her head. And I'm thinking, maybe that's because she always had to do it with her mom.
She can just ask.
It's the normal for
her. Yeah, exactly. So she doesn't have to do it any other way.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's just getting no when you can just ask for forgiveness later.
Yeah, it was nice, you know. It's just, and Anna, please don't go.
Oh,
my God.
Okay, but so let's talk about this. You know, Anna's there. Should we dance? I suppose we should because we need to, you know, chaperone her. Yeah. Anna, blissfully unaware that she's pretty and people are looking at her. In the coming ups, she's getting attention from someone else. I think this is they're pointing out that this is maybe going to be a problem. There might be a little bit of trouble in paradise
because we break them up a little bit.
I don't know if it's so much breaking them up, but other people may come cause strife. Exactly.
But you know, I thought you were upset because Jimmy was dancing with it, but that wasn't it. It was just that other. He was unaware.
Yes.
She was aware enough around her surroundings to realize that maybe Rose shouldn't be there.
This place is entirely unsuitable.
And it just, you know, harkened back to the last time we saw Rose out on the town.
Oh, good Lord.
Just went,
girlfriend.
Not somebody I want to show.
Don't ever put her in a place where there's booze and dancing.
Booze, dancing, and boys. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's too much for her to handle.
Yeah, she's just not ready for it.
But she looked really cute.
Well,
she was adorable.
That.
She's so effervescent. Yeah.
And then, of course, there's the change of attire. So we get the little, I mean, it looks.
Right. When the beau shows up to the back door looking for the maid.
Uh-huh.
But I was upset that Anna, because Anna's just getting herself
deeper and deeper
in that hole. Uh-huh. And it's not going to go well. Why you got to go through all? Just be like, hey, honey.
You know, but it's not, unlike, you know, she seems to be doing it out of just genuine trying to help and stuff like that. But as opposed to Jimmy, who's just, you know, now when Aunt Rose says, hey, hang on, we're there. Hang on. Jimmy says, Jimmy comes out and sees them kissing. By the way, Rose initiates a kiss to Sam Thrawley.
She went back and got him.
Yeah.
There's a lot of women stepping it up this time.
But, and of course, I thought this is the thing I think that's going to come back. Is that what she says to Jimmy? Is that don't say anything and I'll be your friend forever?
Oh yeah,
So
that's
you know Jimmy's
going to
take advantage of that.
Of course he is.
Of course.
So how that happens, I don't know. All right, we got to get to news.
Okay.
AfterBuzz TV News.
Remember poor Sybil?
Yes.
Jessica Brown Finley is set to star in a BBC adaptation of. I'm going to butcher it because I don't speak French. Daphne du Maurier's Jamaica Inn. Okay. Set in 1820 against the backdrop of the windswept Cornish moors. The story is going to be following Mary Yellen, the cast main character Mary Yellen, and her journey when she is forced to live with an aunt at the eponymous inn, Jamaica Inn, after the death of her mother and discovers it to be the hub of a smuggling ring.
Oh, great. So we'll get to see her another
day.
One of the things that she said was she felt that she was becoming a little too comfortable in the role of Sybil, and that was part of her motivation for leaving.
Wow.
So that'll be interesting.
She got very comfortable very quickly.
She wasn't there that long.
It was enough.
And she wasn't at all comfortable in those last few episodes, I gotta say.
No, it was extremely uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. Speaking of Rose, Lily James, who played her, just revealed recently that she was bombarded with online abuse after she landed the role. Yeah. She got a lot of hate via Twitter. She said, the quote was, I got loads of nasty tweets when I started the show. She said, she's not even pretty, she's just nasty. And it kind of took over my life for a little while. She thinks it's because she came so quickly after Lady Sybil's death and people were just traumatized by it and had to lash out at something. And so she was the one who got it.
Man.
So, people are crazy.
Haters gonna hate, man.
Jeez.
Holy cow. She is pretty. So there.
Yeah.
If nothing else. Mm-hmm. Laura Carmichael recently, who plays poor Edith, recently went to Haiti on a charity trip. She flew to the country on a charity mission organized by the Haiti Hospital Appeal. And she admits that she was truly disturbed after witnessing the efforts of doctors there in Haiti who have set up special units to help locals recover after the earthquake in 2010. They're still having so many problems in Haiti. The other thing that she did was she's now helping to launch a Royal Birth, which is a campaign to provide women and babies in Haiti with safe births.
Mm. Oh, my goodness.
Good for her.
So that's some wonderful little charity that she is doing. Downton Abbey was nominated for 12 Emmy Awards and came home with bupkis. Zero.
Is that a British word?
Absolutely not. But people were gobsmacked at it.
There you go.
Bringing that one out.
Okay, but wait, let's talk about that a little bit.
Go ahead.
Do you think that has anything to do with the timing of it? Because I honestly think if it was airing in America roughly around the Emmys, I think they would have gotten something.
Sure, it's that public presence.
Yeah, because,
out of sight, out of mind.
Yeah.
However, there was a victory ratings in the premiere of Series 4, the show returned a record 9.5 million viewers, up from the 9 million viewers of the Series 3 premiere.
With a peak of 10.5.
Good for them.
So that was a big, big win
and just
for them.
Interestingly, so their peak for their preview last week was 10.5, and Breaking Bad's finale last night had 10.3.
Yes.
So I thought that was really
That's pretty incredible.
Yeah.
Pretty incredible. It'll be interesting to see how those numbers hold up in the U.S.
Yeah. Absolutely.
When the series
And let's face it, Downton Abbey's in, over 150 countries, and it's got 120 million viewers around the world.
Massive following.
Crazy following.
Yeah. Finally, Phyllis Logan, who plays beloved Mrs. Hughes. Is still laughing about French windows, they say. When the team won the Best Actor SAG Award for an ensemble, she said, we were so not expecting this. Shut the French windows!
Okay.
Meaning, shut the heck
front door.
Some people would say. What was the other thing I was going to say? She said, so many people like the idea of Mrs. Hughes and Carson getting it together. She says, it might spoil it a bit, but I don't know. The jury's still out on it for me.
Okay.
So as far as a romance between the two of them, she's not so sure about it.
Quick one prediction, anything?
Oh, gosh. Ready?
Prediction. That Edith is going to do some really dumb stuff with this man to upset her father.
Okay. You think they'll get married, though? Go ahead, do a far projection.
Will they get? I don't think they're actually going to ever.
I don't think they're ever going to get married.
Yeah,
but I think they may stay together.
Yeah,
and they may. He may never get his divorce or whatever. But they may
live in sin for quite a while.
That's my projection.
I love that idea.
That's
I think
I said that last.
It'll
so upturn the convention of Downton Abbey. I love that one. I don't know. Mosley's going to come back and create problems.
Okay.
Mosley of all people. Okay. Mosley and his bad comb over.
Well, I think Bates is going to take care of business with Thomas at some
point. I'm looking forward to that.
Can't wait.
I think that's going to be amazing.
Courtney, where can they find you?
You're going to find me on Twitter and Instagram at Stuart Starlet.
Tamara.
I am on Twitter at Tamara Berg, TamaraBerg. Also, my website is TamaraCentral.com.
Okay, and you can't find me anywhere but here. Thank you all for listening. I will hope to speak with you next week, and tune in then and rate and comment and let us know what you're thinking. We'll talk to you next time.
From Bing.com, executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later. Cup of tea.
The views expressed herein are those of the host only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.